Now, Jeff Shepherd is on the line to talk all things USA. Jeff, it has been a while and no fault of your own. It's completely because, A, we've either had stories that have broken and gone on longer than they should, or my timekeeping is up my you-know-what. So apologies for that.
Well, you should, you gotta get yourself a bit of timer. You know, maybe cell phone, on your cell phone, you know. Tom Brady can maybe recommend something for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But let's talk about our good friend, Mr. Brady, because, I mean, it looks like he's going to have to serve this four-game suspension. Deflategate seems like it's been going on for about 5 years now, Jeff. I imagine the Americans are sick to death of hearing about it. But, I mean, it looks like now there's no hope for him. There's no reprieve, so to speak.
Yeah, and this is the problem with the late summer, kind of time period in American sports. You basically just have baseball. There's nothing else going on. Football is just starting up right now, so everything has to get stretched out and blown out of proportion. So, you know, teams are reporting for training camp today. The Patriots had their first practice this morning. Tom Brady was there. He was on the field. He's not answering questions. He's not going to talk about Deflategate. He's probably not going to talk to reporters for a while. But the NFL ruled this week. They said they're going to uphold his four-game suspension. And their basic reasoning was even though they don't have hard proof, they believe without a shadow of a doubt that he destroyed his cell phone or directed someone to destroy his cell phone that, you know, was they had copies of text messages from equipment managers and trainers talking about, you know, the Deflategate stuff. And then they never got that same opportunity to search Brady's phone. And when he was supposed to turn his phone over, well, he didn't have that same phone anymore, and he'd gotten a new one. And his defense is, well, I get new phones all the time. And you know what? He's married to a supermodel, and he's, you know, one of the most famous athletes in America. I mean, I can get that, but it just certainly looks fishy, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's a saying in America, you know, if you think back to the 1970s with Watergate and everything like that, there was a saying, the cover-up is worse than the crime. And here it appears, don't know for true, but it appears that he, you know, covered up some information that he may have known about it. And the NFL may never be able to prove that. And so now the NFL Players Association, the union, is trying to, you know, to sue. And they're bringing a case to court to try to get Brady's, you know, suspension either, you know, completely overturned or reduced. Now, the NFL kind of offered the same situation. If he would admit that he was guilty, they would have cut it from four games to two. But he didn't want to admit anything to do with it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. That makes absolutely no sense to me, and I'll tell you why, right? If the guy admits the original crime, which is deflating the footballs before a game, and they say that's actually not too bad an offence, and we will, you know, it would have been a lesser sanction, so to speak. But because they think, without proof, that he's covered up evidence on his phone, again, without proof, they have hit him with a bigger fine than would have originally been the case if he'd been guilty of the crime he's been accused of. That, to me, is insane.
Yeah, it's all circumstantial. You know, it's what, and then, if you think back to the very beginnings of all this stuff, the week before the Super Bowl, you had all of this, you know, Bill Belichick talking about, you know, the PSI, the pressure in the football, it's inflated to a certain level, but then the temperature drops and it automatically drops it. All of this, you're right. It's been going on for close to 7 months now. And it's absurd that this is what this has come to. That, you know, the A, that someone would try to do this, and B, that it's had to be carried out this long. But, it's a very weird situation. He's going to wind up being suspended. Now, whether that stays four games or if it does get dropped down to something shorter, that still remains to be seen. But I just don't see him in the opener week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, so my next question then is, I mean, you can do a lot of damage in four games of a season in terms of the Patriots' prospects if things don't go well. How good is their number two?
Well, their number two is very young. His name's Jimmy Garoppolo. I believe he only played in one game really last year. They went to Kansas City on a Monday night and got absolutely blown out. And so Brady got pulled early. It was early in the season, week four, week five, something along those lines. And Brady got pulled and Garoppolo got put in and he threw a touchdown pass and everybody on the sideline was celebrating except when he went over to Tom Brady and Brady just looked at him. He was like, whatever, dude, you know, just sit down, give me a drink, whatever. So, I mean, he had nothing to do with the kid, you know? So, he's going to get, you know, a majority of the snaps. I mean, the Patriots want this to get they want to either get some clarity, you know, soon, or there's a possibility that they may want to try to push it until the end of the season to say, look, we can't make up, you know, there's too much going on. We don't want to drag this out, whatever. So, I mean, like I said, I think he's going to be suspended. Don't know for how long if that gets overturned. I don't see the NFL reversing itself anytime soon. It's going to have to come from the high courts, and then maybe the NFL appeals that too, which, again, is just idiotic that we're having to have these discussions, you know, about the NFL.
Shep, how much of his reputation has been damaged by all this, or does everybody still love Tom Brady?
Oh, I mean, well, first off, he's just so handsome. How can he not?
He is
love,
so
you know?
Ridiculously handsome.
Right, but I mean, look, there are people that like him and there are people that don't like him, and I don't think this changes anybody's opinion. I think it just reaffirms their opinion, you know? Mm. If you love him, you're like, the NFL's out to get him, he didn't do anything wrong, and if you don't like him, well, you think he's a cheater anyway. And there's a lot of people who don't like the Patriots because of Bill Belichick's just a, you know, cranky old guy, and, you know, they had this Spygate stuff a couple of years ago, and they didn't really get enough of a punishment for that. And so, again, and my opinion is this. He's not, I, you know, I don't like the Patriots. I root for the Saints, so I don't care what happens to him, you know. I mean, if it had a direct impact on the team that I like, you know, I would probably have a much stronger opinion. But, again, it's just absurd. So, I mean, you know, he walks out on the field today, you know, at the practice facility up in New England. Well, yeah, they're a little pro-Tom Brady in that facility, you know, and in the stands there. So, again, I don't think it sways anybody's opinions. You know, in America today, in the climate with social media, you know, there's no middle anymore. I mean, you're all the way on the extremes on just about everything, you know, and you either like them or you hate them, and there's really no in between.
What has the reaction been like to Jen Welter, the first female coach in the NFL, and I suppose specifically the Cardinals? I mean, has this gone down well?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you don't really hear anything. You know, you don't hear any of the chauvinistic, well, how is she going to make it in the locker room and all this other stuff. You know, I think, you know, Coach Bruce Arians kind of laid it out. You know, she's got a 15-year career kind of playing and being involved. I think she played rugby at Boston College.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, she's clearly a tough lady. I mean, you know, and she's in great shape. And, you know, I mean, the precedent was set, you know, earlier this summer. The San Antonio Spurs had a female coach, Becky Harmon, coaching their summer league, and she led them to the NBA Summer League championship, you know. And then you're coming right off the heels of the Women's World Cup. And so, you know, right now it's like the women's liberation movement all over again.
And
you know,
I suppose,
in the world of sports, so.
Yeah. Bruce Arians' comments, he said, it didn't matter if a coach was the Green Hornet as long as the players felt he or she could help them improve, which ultimately at the end of the day is all that matters. Can the person coaching me help me to improve my game?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's at the bottom line. That's exactly what it is. And I think, you know, there's a female referee in the NFL this year for the first time ever. I think Becky Harmon is going to be a head coach in the NBA probably within the next 2 years. I mean, she's basically learning from Greg Popovich in San Antonio, who's got a great system, and he's obviously had great players, but, I mean, they're the best franchise in the NBA over the last, you know, 10, 15 years easily. And so, you know, I think those things are going to change, you know, for football. I don't know about a head coach in football. I mean, I think we're still a ways away from that. But, you know, the referee, Welter, getting her foot in the door there, opening up other opportunities for women, you know, in the game, I think it's a big positive. And there haven't been really, you know, there hasn't been any major blowback. You haven't seen any players on opposing teams, you know, getting on social media and saying something stupid or
give them time, Jeff. Give them time.
Well, yeah. maybe I'm giving them too much credit right now, you know.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, and it's been brilliant that there's been so much positive reaction so far. Okay, well, look, we're almost out of time. Just on the NBA, I just see a story that the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, is trying to promote the NBA as a brand in Africa at the moment, and I'm thinking maybe he's looking to find a few Hakeem Olajuwons to try and sign up for some of the teams.
Sure, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dikembe Mutombo, Manute Bol. I mean, you know, they've had some, you know, African players that have come over. the NBA has had the biggest brand, you know, of an American sport globally. I mean, you know, the fan bases, you know, in China and in Asia, it's huge. And so they've been able, you know, to expand, you know, globally, I think, bigger than some of the other sports. And so that's, you know, that's interesting that they're going down there. They've had a lot of former players go to Africa to build hospitals, schools, and do different things like that. So I think that's all part of that outreach as well.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, it's great to talk to you, Jeff. Finally. Sorry about that, pal.
That's okay. Look forward to it again, brother.
Yeah, this time next week. Jeff Shepherd there, all things United States of America. Thanks a million, Jeff.